Okay. Well, Father, we're just excited tonight because we know something's going to happen. We just praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do in every one of us, Lord. We thank you that tonight is going to be a great time with you. We're going to seek revelation from the Word, maybe even hear a little bit of praise. And Father, we just praise you for all that you're going to do tonight. We have a wonderful time when we get on here together, Lord, because you're the one that's in charge. You're the one that's leading us and guiding us. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way in this fellowship tonight. And we just praise you, Lord, that everything that happens tonight is for your glory, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? How about a testimony or a praise report?
I got a prayer request, please.
Okay, George. Go ahead, brother.
I just want to continue to lift up Diane Churchill in prayer, this lady up here in Maine. Going through a big battle. They thought they were going to lose her last week, and now just hoping that faith will prevail. And whatever's blocking anybody's faith will be dislodged and they will see a living God. Father, I thank you that I've got brothers and sisters that will add their faith to mine to come into a battle for something that you've already won, something that you sent Jesus to take our sickness and disease on himself. And he don't have to do it twice, Father. We thank you that he's done it once for all, and it is finished. And I command that cancer to leave in the name of Jesus, and every other spirit of infirmity. I speak life to Diane. I command healing to her body, and that she is being revived from her spirit man outward, that she will prosper and be in health, even as her soul prospers, Lord, and that those around her right now are feeding her soul what it needs, and she is being saved, body, soul, and spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord, we hook our faith up with George and all the rest of the Christians over there, and we believe that Diane is going to raise up off of that bed of affliction and be a glorious testimony to your grace and your mercy, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead, Leon.
Yeah, I just want to pray for Leonid and his family. They're on their way home. What a great time we had with them past couple of days. And Lord, I just lift them up to you, Lord God. Just give them a safe trip and get them back home. give them as great a time with us as we had with them. And just make it just a great time for everybody, Lord God. And just thank you for allowing him to be here, and just bless him. I know that we saw some major improvement in Josiah, Leonid's son. That was a great blessing to me, Lord God, and it's a testimony as well. We made great progress. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah, it was a good visit that they had. When they came down, they spent 3 days with us, and then 2 nights and 3 days, and then when they went back up, they spent 3 days and 2 nights with us. So it was an awesome time. Awesome time. Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
Hey, everybody. My mom asked me to stay a week at their place to watch the dog in July, the end of July, and while they go on a trip with my brother down to see some family in North Carolina, and that's such a far ways off yet. That's like 4 months away, 5 months away. And it just doesn't sit right with me. And I even, asked the Lord about it. And I said, what answer should I give my mom, a yes or a no? And I told her I'd give her an answer by this Saturday. And but anyway, he gave me a no. And I'm like, okay, Lord. Okay, what am I going to tell her? It's like you feel like you have to have a reason or give, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I just want everybody to be in agreement with me here that show me something to say, I'm still praying about it because I'm not 100% sure. I asked him for a confirmation to that. And but anyway, so Lord, I just ask everybody to come in agreement with me that the Lord will let me know beyond a doubt, what the answer is, and what I need to tell my mom. And she's not going to accept, Lord. She's not going to accept. She's going to think I'm nuts because the Lord told me no. Well, why did he tell you no? I don't know why.
But anyway. Ask the Lord.
Lord, help me out here. Yeah, let me.
Yeah. Mama, ask the Lord. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, well, why didn't you ask the Lord? Anyway. Lord, so help me out here. Help me. Give me the words to say, and I just cast down any kind of rejection or animosity or anything about if you really do want me to tell her no, Lord. So I just want to be absolutely sure. I need a confirmation on that, and give me the words to say, and that my answer will be accepted, and there will just be peace, and just forbid any division to rise out of it. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Tell her that she wished to give her an answer June 15th.
See, she wants to know within the week. And I told her, I emailed her back and I said, well, I'll let no later than Saturday, just so they can give relatives down in North Carolina notice. My brother is going to be taking them down, and, he has plans he wants to make for the summer and everything. And I'm like, but anyway, I'm like, oh, Lord, help. So thank you, Lord.
Lord, give us some wisdom.
Yeah, amen.
Okay, anyone else? A lot can happen between now and July.
Exactly. That's my point.
Have a whole new world by then.
Yeah, I know. It's like, But anyway.
Obey the Lord, Missy. Obey the Lord.
Oh, I know.
All right, anybody else got anything you'd like to pray about or a testimony or a praise report? iPad Judy, you go right ahead, girl.
Well, I just want to thank the Lord for this weekend. My daughter came down here from Indiana, and she came to get a car, but everything just worked out so perfect. She works with this Christian lady at Hardee's, and I believe that lady's supposed to be there for her because I've been praying for the Lord to send somebody for Amy, and this lady is really awesome. But I've told her about UBM, and so I was really excited for her to be able to see us, meet everybody, and go to one of our. She went to the morning meeting. They didn't get to go to a evening meeting, but it was really, really the morning meeting that she came to was really neat because we prayed for her husband, we prayed for her, and we really prayed. So I thought that was really neat. And another neat thing was this one was going down by herself. Rebel. But when Rebel said, oh, you can't drive that car. It'll be nice. And I thought that was neat because I was thinking of Rebel to come with her, but I thought she couldn't leave her husband, but it just happened that her daughter's there is at her house for a couple weeks, so she was able to come, and she's able to talk to Amy all the way down, all the way back about God, so that was pretty cool, because she said that she had been praying to be alone with Amy for a period of time, and here she got 2 9-hour trips, so that was pretty awesome, too, so I just want to thank the Lord for working everything out, and just everything just happened, just zip, 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 and it was just really an awesome, awesome weekend, so I want to thank the Lord for that. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Okay. Good testimony. Anybody else? Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Missy's dilemma there, and it's tough when you're dealing with people that don't understand where we're at with the Lord, and that we can ask Him for things, answers to questions that the world would just think you could get a yay or a nay, and you make a commitment and just go for it. And I struggled with that a lot. It was harder back home, but the people down here seem to understand. If you say the Lord told me to do it or not to do it, they seem to understand. But the family and stuff, we had real difficulty with that. And before the meeting tonight, I was reading in Jeremiah, and he was doing exactly what the Lord told him to do, and boy, he was getting all kinds of getting dropped in the dungeon and threatened to have his head cut off and all sorts of things. But he did what, he said what the Lord told him to say, and kind of an example for us. It's tough, and the trials are going to be tough, but that's just one of the examples. And I was just reading it before the meeting, but it, we've got to do what the Lord says, and the consequences aren't going to be that bad. Even with your parents or your siblings or whatever, if you tell them your reason, if they can't understand that, I guess that's their problem. And then you go in, to things with a clear conscience because you did what the Lord said.
I think most of us on here have done that, and we do. We catch flack from family members more than we do anybody else. They don't understand that. They don't understand it. If God says no, He means no. Or if he says yes, he means yes. What do you mean God told you no? Well, he told me no. What, you know, they want to go into all of this stuff with it. Go ahead, Leon. You want to unmute? You want me to do it? Okay. If I can.
All right. You had some feedback on your mic.
Yeah, I like it coming from Tim.
Okay.
He's all right now. Is that what you was going to tell me? Oh, yeah, I could hear it. It, no, it didn't bother me too much. Okay.
I got a weird question as usual.
Okay, weird George, go ahead.
They don't get weirder. just thinking about the timeline of when Jesus came, how the Israel had pretty much divorced herself from God. There was a remnant that was still holding on believing, but there was so much of that, you know, I wouldn't say bride, but maybe it is. Maybe it's that body was resisting her head so much. And we're coming to maybe a culmination of this dispensation for the church, I guess I would say, where maybe the religiosity or something, you know, is he pleased? Is the bride of Christ, I mean, is the bride of Christ hindering the move of God that he would want? I mean, I know he's going to get his work done, but I think about the resistance that was going on to the truth then, and how nothing really changes, and how it's everything's coming to a head also now, and there's so much swimming against the current of men's traditions and religiosity and churchianity and anything else you want to call it, Phariseeism or whatever, that maybe it is the evil in the world. You know, the church needs to take responsibility for all of it, because if we were listening to our head and obeying and complying and happy to serve and saying yes Lord, maybe there wouldn't be so much anxiety and when Lord, you know, we're asking him when, and he's asking us when.
Amen. That's where the Lord tells us. He says, he asks us if we fear man more than we fear him, you know. I've gone through it so many times with my family about coming home at certain times of the year, you know, and you can't because you're busy, and the Lord says no, and they don't understand that. So I just have to get used to it, because that's obedience is better than sacrifice. Go ahead, Leah.
Well, he mentioned something about the state of the Israel and the state of the church today. The state of Israel back then, but it was a time of great anticipation that the Messiah was coming, because they knew from Daniel's 69 or 70 weeks, and after 69 that he would come and be killed. They knew that he was coming right in about the same time that he did come. So that wasn't anything. And then we in the same light are recognizing that Jesus is about to come, or most of the church thinks he's coming for them to take him away. But there is a great anticipation of Jesus coming, because we can see all the signs that point to that too. But I don't think the bride is hindering in the same light that when Jesus came, You had like Simeon and Anna on the Temple Mount when Mary and Joseph showed up with Jesus, and they blessed Jesus, and they blessed Mary and Joseph and so forth. So that was part of the bride then. And then you have today you have the bride, but that's not a hindrance to what's coming about with the Lord and what's going to occur. We're not in the way. We're part of the remnant bride, and we will help facilitate what the Lord's doing. We do that through our prayers and things like that, because there's stuff going on in the government, there's stuff going on in the church, and we get to be part of that group that prays and casts down the bad stuff and exalts the good stuff, and we get to be part of all of that in today's economy, so to speak, with the Lord, not the financial economy, but the economy with the Lord. And that's an awesome thing to be part of that. And just through your prayers and you, George, I'm specifically speaking to you, just the things that you share on here and the things that you minister to us and the things that you you pray about for healing for people, and you know, you see the glory of God shining and the Lord doing what he said he was going to do and things of that nature. That's a great encouragement to all of us. And I just think it's a perfect time, and we're in a perfect situation, we as a group here and the bride in general, worldwide bride. We're in such a great shape for this time, and we're ready for what the Lord's going to do. So I think there's not as much of a hindrance as it is a blessing and just a way to show the people what's going to happen. Maybe I got your question wrong. I'm not 100%.
No, sure. I don't. Maybe it wasn't so much a question as it is a confession that I was kind of beating around the bush. Maybe I just want to confess that I am not living up to the race that I'm supposed to run, and that I am there's weights and things that I still need to shed. And even if God's given me more faith than I even believe that I can walk in, that I need to believe more and stretch myself out more to step out and be bold and be willing to burn and be willing to take a little less love from the world, you know, beware when all men say good things about you type of thing. You know, I got a decent reputation, but there's this sackcloth that I'm wearing underneath my garment that's just, you know, the grieving for the world that I'm not allowed to publicly expose. And it's kind of like, just keep that smiley face on and keep moving through the crowd when I should be warning them and sowing better seed and doing more to, you know, like Paul said, I delivered the whole counsel of the word, did everything I was supposed to do type of thing. And I guess that's just, I don't mind putting more pressure on myself, and I don't mind anybody else, any brother that wants to, or sister that wants to push, you know, provoke to good works, I guess is what I'm saying. So I want to confess as sin being lazy, being maybe fearful, being a coward. And by confessing it, I'm humbling myself, and God's given me grace not to have to be here next week doing the same thing. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you know, when he called his prophets, he specifically spoke to him. And I recognize that he did that so his word could be written down for us. You know, but he went to like Ezekiel and said, I'm going to do this for you. And Ezekiel said, I can't do that. I'm just a young person. Most of his prophets said, I can't do that, you know, and he said, I'll give you the power to do that. So, as far as ministering, you know, there's times when you struggle at what you want to say or what you want to do, and you don't really have a clear vision of how to minister. And then there's other times that the words just flow supernaturally out of you, and you just are astounded at what's coming out of your mouth and what you remember and all those kind of things. And I would say that if you're struggling at it, it's because you're looking to do the works of man. And if you're flowing out of it, you're doing the works of God, because God says he'll empower you to do the works that he wants you to do. And if you're doing them out of your own flesh, so the devil would also come to you and accuse you of being a lackadaisical Christian, that you haven't done enough, that you haven't scored enough, there's not enough notches on your belt as far as salvations go and things like that. And he's a very masterful foe. He's very masterful at making it sound like it's coming from you or that it's coming from God even, but it's truly coming from him. So I would say, and I'm not giving you an excuse, you know, you would know you better than I do, you know, but I try not to hear words from the enemy as much as I seek the word from the Lord, you know. And he tells us in our scriptures that we're to go and make disciples. So yeah, we're instructed to do things, but you can't do them under your own power. That's a problem with the church today, is they do all this stuff in their own power without the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's for naught, really. They make sons of hell more than their own selves, you know, and the ones that do accept the Lord, otherwise they just drive people off. And but anyway, I said enough.
I'm in. All right, who next? Lynn, that's right. You were right there. That devil will tell us that you ain't doing near about enough. You need to get out there and hit it, boy. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I was dealing just this afternoon. I had a Bible study on. I was out playing in the garden, and I was feeling, you know, condemned along the same lines as what George is talking, you know. And the same thoughts that Leon was just sharing were going through my head, you know, the condemnation, the devil attacking us and all that. And then reminded about the First John chapter 4, you know, about half the chapter dedicated to just, you know, love. That's what we're, you know, God is love. We're supposed to be love. And, you know, there's other verses that's the most important thing. And, you know, our what we do, you know, in the body and with each other is really important. But the main thing is, and one of my biggest shortcomings is, you know, not having the love out there that we're called to do. And if we can do that, then the other stuff will come naturally, including the, you know, getting rid of the condemnation and stuff like that. So kind of a confession on my part, and kind of a lift up George here. You know, you know, like Leon said, the devil will condemn you and accuse you and then condemn you, you know, but if we have the love, that's a big part and probably the most important part. And that's what we, you know, we need to strive for, and myself in particular.
Amen. I think that could be something that hinders a lot of folks, is thinking that they're not doing enough, when it's not you that does it anyway. It's God that does it. Yeah. He does it in you. Go ahead, Willie.
Do you think those thoughts and condemnations and feelings, you know, come from a lack of how we, where we are in our will, or how we perceive what will is? Can you guys hear me? I thought I got cut off. Everybody's like,
"Yeah, we're waiting on you." Yeah, go ahead, Will.
No, it was a question, because I've been thinking about, you know, the will, you know, and I had these really good thoughts about the will. You know how when your mind is just set on something, it's just set. I'm trying to understand more about the will. Because, you know, they say if you're in the will of God or if you're not in the will of God, there's the will of God. And then there's the will, you know, where God says, you know, and I've been thinking of scriptures that's been relating to the will, like how God will write, you know, his law upon the tablets of our heart. And I, you know, is the will a law within of the soul, or is the soul the will? Because here you have him writing, you know, but if anybody got anything to say about it, I've been really thinking on, you know, the will. I think the will is very important, because in our walk, when I go through Proverbs, you know, it seems like it's really talking about the will a lot. You know, the will has to have wisdom, the will has to have discernment, it has to have knowledge, it has to have understanding, you know, all these things, you know. But yeah, I don't want to go too far with that. I wrote some stuff down, and I've just been, you know, writing stuff down. But I don't know. It just seems like it relates to what everyone's talking about. Sometimes when I get down, it is like I'm deceived from knowing that I have a will, in the sense to where there is no will, there's just the temptation, you know, to where you actually do have a will. But I think the lack of the understanding of that new will, you know, blinds us from many temptations, you know, blinds us from, you know, how we react to temptations, or I don't know, you know, I've just been really thinking on the will. I want a deeper understanding concerning the will. I know the will is, you know, a key part of our walking in Christ. You know, it has to have this thing from Christ. I mean, probably somebody can speak on it better than I can. I'm done, though.
Hey, I can give you a short answer. I had a friend of mine one time asked Lester Summerall. He said, I want to know what the will of God is for my life and then what I'm supposed to do. He said, be in my office 8 o'clock Monday morning. This is at He was in Dallas when he was talking, but he lived in, where's Notre Dame? What's the name of that town that Notre Dame's in?
South Bend, Indiana.
Yeah. And that's, and he had to go all the way up there. So he loaded up, went up there on Monday morning, and he walked in his office and he said, I'm here to see Dr. Summerall. She said, well, go right on in. He's in there. So he walked in there and he was in there. Summerall was in there writing something. He was doing something. He finally laid his hand down. He said, to know the will of God for your life, read the Bible. And he said, to know what your ministry is, do the Bible. A short answer. I know that's not what you wanted to hear, but I thought that was a real profound answer that he gave Curry. Anyway, thought I'd throw that in there just for a starter. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Willie, I was going to tell you, I just recently read a book by Andrew Murray called God's Will, Our Dwelling Place. And I got it from Thrift Books. It was cheap, but it's really good. And, you know, it really addresses, you know, what you were talking about. And I'm trying to think of, you know, I started thinking, well, what verses? And of course, you know, what comes to us always is the Lord is working both to will and to do his good pleasure in our lives. You know, he's the one that's doing the work. But he does address some things like, you know, self-will. And this is something the Lord had been showing me for some time, that, you know, self-will is the biggest and the last idol in our lives, overcoming that. And anyway, if you can get a hold of that's a really good book. I know also I pray every day for the Lord to make his will my desire and to confirm his will and his way unto me and to allow me no pleasure, success, and unrighteousness, and to pour out a spirit and keep a spirit of repentance on me through the day, showing me, you know, when I'm getting into a thought where, you know, something that doesn't line up with the word. And so much of it is, of course, we know is just faith and believing that, you know, when we pray like that, he's going to do it. He knows how to give us good gifts. And it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And it's his good pleasure to pour out his Holy Spirit on us to guide us and teach us and lead us and convict us. And, you know, it's, you know, we're all a work in progress right now. That's all.
Yeah. Amen. That's right. Anybody else want to expound on the will? Go ahead, Pat.
Well, I'll take a stab. It's in the last few weeks, I've been in conversations with people, and one of the verses that seems to keep coming up in conversations is Hebrews, I think it's 4:12. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it seems as though it must be very easy to get me into condemnation or self or guilt or whatever, because there's such a large landscape of things to choose from in my life that the devil can dig up. And so I get into that battle of knowing where that is coming from, where those thoughts, where that condemnation is coming from. And I know that scripture that Marilyn brought up, well, no, it was somebody else, I think somebody else brought it up, maybe I'm going to bring it up. It was somebody said something like, the mind, will, and emotions are the soul. But I think that is, which is a bit, it's, I'm sure that it's true, but it's, I think, a bit maybe simplistic, because I think it's a lot more complicated than that, because we are spirits dwelling in this body with a soul that interfaces that process. Yet in our spirit, we have emotions. In our spirit, we have feelings, we have thoughts, we have determination and will from our spirit. And so I go back to that scripture that God's word is alive and powerful and able to separate those things from us, able to separate that spirit and soul from us. Separate the two so we can see what is causing what. And it seems like I'm coming back around to the understanding whether this is true or not, but there's a lot of scripture that God says that in Ezekiel and whatever, where he's going to give us a new heart. But if you look in the scripture in Thessalonians, where Paul is pointing out, I guess, shall we say, the makeup of man, we are spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. Where does heart fit in there? Is heart in the soul or heart in the spirit? Can't be in the body. Well, there is a heart in the body now that I think about it. And so I'm coming to, I think, the conviction that there is a separation of spirit and soul and body. But I'm beginning to believe that inner spiritual portion of us, not the body, but that inner spiritual portion of the soul, spirit, is in fact the heart, our heart. Maybe I'm way off base with that. I don't know. But it gives me a little bit more light to think about these verses where God is going to give us a clean heart, where I find it sometimes struggling in certain things where I don't know, is that a stronghold in my soul, Lord, or is that something in my will and my spirit that I'm just not giving up, or do I need to, where is the problem? But God's got a promise for us that he will give us a clean heart, the inner man. And whatever that confusion is, he's going to clean it up. I didn't say much about the will, but I do know that. The last few days, I woke up this morning at like 3:30 and wide awake. So I got out of bed and came down to read. And a couple days ago, I asked the Lord to lead me in his word. And I felt just the need to, the things that were coming to me is that I need to prepare my life for the tribulation to come. And the thing that came to me is, I wrote it down. I said, I need to look to God to prepare my heart to dwell in the land of life in Jesus. And I just asked, Lord, I don't want to be improperly imbalanced with a unhealthy dependence upon mental discernment or my ability to logically get through the Word of God and find the right key to pray for, to annihilate this problem that I have with the cause and effect of God's Word and truth, and laying that axe to the root and chopping that tree down and blasting through that problem victoriously, simply by mental discernment or mentally apprehending his word, which I believe is important. But I don't want to be imbalanced in depending too much upon that, as opposed to spiritual guidance of the Holy Spirit and taking what he says in my spirit by faith and walking in it. And I think there's got to be a balance there. And that balance is, I think, what I struggle over. And so I asked the Lord to guide me in his word, and I pulled my Bible down. I do all my reading and everything on my computer, so it's hard for me to, open up the computer and stick my finger down. So I have a Bible on here on the shelf, and I'll spin it a few times and stick my finger down in a verse and ask the Lord to lead me. And he dropped me into Ezra, chapter 10, verse 22. Which is, it made absolutely no sense. Matter of fact, I'll read it to show you how much sense it doesn't make. And the sons of Pashur, Elioni, Maaseiah, Ishmael, Nathanael, Jozabad, and Elisha. So I figured that if he dropped me in the middle of that, I have to go back and read the context of it. And the context of it is basically, if you go back to verse 18, it's the children of Israel in this time, and I'm going to have to go back and read the book now and study it, but this was the children of Israel were praying, seeking the Lord, and And I went back to verse 1 and 2, basically, but it said, now while Ezra prayed and made confession, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there was gathered together unto him out of Israel a very great assembly of men and women and children. For the people wept very sore. Again, I have to apologize. I haven't gone back to read what was the context of Ezra, what was happening here, if they were praying for revival or they were, I'm not sure. And Shechaniah, the son of Jethiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said to Ezra, we have trespassed against our God and have married foreign women of the peoples of the land. Yet now there is hope for Israel concerning this thing. Now therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born of them according to the counsel of my Lord, and those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. So I read through that, and the first thing that came up into my mind, of course, is God's led me into a verse where he wants me to divorce my wife or whatever it is. Your mind goes into every which way. And then what rises is fear of the unknown. What's the Lord got here? What's he trying to show me? I don't know. I can't see. It's dark. I'm in the midst of the unknown. And I realized that God has, he's led me to a place, to something here, which I'm, by the way, I'm not speaking this as a testimony to say, yes, I've come through this and this is, I can tell you what's happening, because I'm in the middle of the process. But there was a certain amount of fear there, an anxiety of, you know, what am I to do? What does this mean? Or whatever. And then I realized that God's word is living. It's absolutely alive. And God spoke it. And in its essence is power to do its bidding. And that power is there whether we like it or not. It's there. It is functioning. It's working. We can resist it. We can be initially fearful and say, oh, I don't think I want to go down that path, Lord. And we can kind of ignore it and go over to the Psalms and read something nice about, you know, David or whatever. Or we can have, and this is where I ended up, I can have confidence in the fact that his word being alive will do its work, and I don't have to know exactly what that work is right now. I can be confident in that, and I can allow it to come in, receive it, let it cooperate with God's word, and let it do what he wants to do in there. And and let him discern and clarify the path through. or the path of obedience to walk in. Because as Jesus said to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, truly you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and that truth will make you free. So I said, Lord, I believe your word is quick, it's alive, it's powerful. You sent it out to do its bidding, and it will not return to you without a consequence, without a result, because it's your word. It doesn't fail. I will cooperate with your word and release it to do its work in my life. Even this word, the application of which I can't and don't comprehend yet, I give myself to you for your purpose. I will not guide it to where I want it to go, but I will trust it to guide me where I need to go to find the balance and rest that you've promised me. Thank you, Lord. And so that is my prayer this morning, and my prayer today is that I see myself. The Lord gave me an example or a picture one time of a process of discipleship, and much of it is, the picture was going after a promise in his word, and many times when you seek that promise, it's like opening up that door and walking into that dark room. You know the promise is there, but you also know there's a somewhat of a fear, a anxiety of the unknown, the unseen. It's dark. You don't know where everything's at. You don't have the answers. You don't have the light. So you start tapping around and looking for that promise, looking for that light, until you finally find the switch, and with your will, turn that switch on, the light comes on, and the varmints scatter, and the light cleanses, and you see clearly. And that's kind of my experience in walking with the Lord, is that I'm getting to the point where I'm having more confidence and trust in his word as I'm going into that dark place, and knowing that at the end of that process, there will be a light come on, there will be understanding in his word, and I'll be able to apply it, I'll be able to walk in it and rest in it. And so I think that, to go back to Willie's question, the last part of that was, I believe, me initiating my will to cooperate with God's word by faith and allow him to do what he wants me to do, regardless of me knowing the result or knowing the end or where it's all going to go. So I don't know if that helps, but it certainly helped me to repeat it. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, Pat, while you were talking there, I I just opened up Ezra and looked, and we've been studying a book here locally, one of David's books, Into the Wilderness, and this chapter in Ezra is really pointing towards getting, you know, prepared for the tribulation, which we're talking about. And the foreign women were, you know, mingling with the pure Jews and diluting their religion. And in our local discussion and reading the book and through David's teachings and stuff, it's been very clear that if you allow an unpure body to go into the tribulation or the wilderness, that you won't have God with you, and you won't have the, you know, the presence of the Lord to carry you through. You'll be tempted to go back into Egypt, and you'll die in the wilderness. And so that, I just wanted to throw a little light on that, you know, that the Lord knew what he was doing when he gave you that verse and that chapter, because there is quite a spiritual message there when you look at it. And that Into the Wilderness is a pretty easy read if you can download it and take a look at it.
What is the name of it again?
Through the Wilderness.
Through the Wilderness?
I think it's Into the Wilderness.
I don't think I saw that one.
It's a new book.
It's Fear Not the Wilderness.
Oh, thanks, Leon.
I wanted to tell you also that if you, our experience with those names, like that verse with full of names, is you want to look up the meaning of those names, because often there's a message in that. If you know the name you put your finger on, look at that one first and find out what it means, because it may mean something to you. And then look at all the names in that one verse and try and determine, because a lot of times it's out to be a sentence just in the names. It'll have a great impact on you.
Where do you find the meanings of those names?
You got Esau?
Esau?
Yes.
Okay. Look in Easton's.
What's that?
Dictionary. Go in the dictionary and look in Easton's.
Give me just a second here.
Ah. There's two or three of them that have them in them. If one don't have it, another one will. You know, you just have to look and see. Let me relate here what Monroe says in the chat room. He says, what helps me when I feel inadequate is to remind myself that I am perfected in Christ through faith. I believe that this is a question of faith. Faith in the work of God in me. That it is his work making more of the little bit of fish and bread that I have to offer. I often feel guilt and condemnation, but that is against his word for us, as it is not I that live, but Christ living in me. The gospel has to stay simple for me. The word around it is not to make it more, but to expound and explain it in all its hidden intricacies. I believe the basic gospel is the foundation of all our understanding. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. I believe it. Now, to get back to Marilyn's book, I wanted to recite something out of that book she was talking about. And the first thing that he recited, yeah, I got it. I got a deal at the 50 titles of Andy Murray downloaded. Anyway, he quotes, first thing he quotes, Pat, is Matthew 6 and 10. And I don't know what version he's got, but he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Then I'm going to read this. He said, the will of man is the power by which he determines his actions and decides what he is to do or not to do. In it is manifested his hidden inward being, proving what his desires and dispositions are, foolish or wise, good or evil. The will is the revelation of character and life. And what a man truly wills, he will infallibly seek to have done, either by himself or through others. In the will of God, we have the perfect expression of his divine perfection. Because he is a fountain of all beauty and blessedness, his will is inconceivably beautiful and blessed. In it, his divine wisdom and goodness make themselves known. Through it alone, the creature can know his God. In accepting and doing that will, he finds the only and the sure way to fellowship and union with God. The glory and the blessedness of heaven consist in nothing but this, that God's will is done therein and by all. There is nothing to hinder God's working freely and fully all his blessed will in its countless hosts. To all that he wills for them of goodness and blessedness and service, their whole being is surrendered in submission and adoration. God lives in them and they in God. They are filled with the fullness of God. In the Lord's Prayer, our blessed Master teaches us to come to the Father with the wonderful petition that his will may be done on earth even as in heaven. He calls us to open our hearts to think and lift them heavenwards in real desire and prayer. He bids us count upon an answer. In other words, have faith that he's going to answer you. And according to the power that works in us, expect the experience in such measure as we are fitted for. God's will done in us and by us on earth as it is in heaven. The God who works it in heaven, that's our Father, who delights to work it on earth. He wants to work it on us. He wants to do that for all of us. The blessedness of earth cannot possibly be other than that of heaven. Let our hearts desire and delight to have the will of God done. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. These chapters invite you to come and meditate on this petition. If so be the Father may, by his Holy Spirit, show you the divine beauty of his will and the altogether heavenly blessedness of living in it. Let us begin by considering what God's will includes, that we may know what our Lord means and what we are to expect when we pray, your will be done. There is, first, the will of God's holy providence. Everything that happens on earth comes to the child of God as the will of his Father. We all know that. We read that in Sovereign God. In his infinite wisdom, God so overrules all the evil of men and devils that in permitting it, he can take it up into his will and make it work out his purposes. Joseph says of the sin of his brethren, "Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." And Jesus said to Pilate, "Thou couldst have no power against me except it were given thee from above." In everything that came on him, he saw God's will, talking about Jesus. It was all the cup the Father gave him. It's when the Christians learn to see God's will in everything that comes to him, grievous or pleasing, great or small, that the prayer, your will be done, will become the unceasing expression of adoring submission and praise. The whole world, with its dark mysteries in life, with all its difficulties, will he illumine with the light of God's presence and rule. And the soul will taste the rest and the bliss of knowledge that it is every moment encircled and watched over by God's will, that nothing can separate it from the love of which the will is the expression. Happy the Christian who receives everything in providence as the will of his Father. And it goes on, and it goes on a lot. I just wanted to kind of let you know, it's living Christ in you, just like Monroe was talking. That's a good book, Marilyn. All right. Hi, Julie. All right, anybody else? Yes, go ahead, Andrew.
Here's one for you out of Hebrews. Just finished the book of Hebrews, and it says something there about how we are following the will of God right now. And it says there, where is it now? It's in chapter 13, verse 16. But forget not well-doing and fellowship, for with such sacrifices, God is well-pleased. And this is a fellowship right now, right here, this conference call. So I had a prayer for the conference call, too. And I often went to that verse in the Lord's Prayer where it says, thou shalt be on earth as it is in heaven. We're on the morning of the seventh day. So who do you have to agree with when it comes to some of the things that recently happened, like in your New York State, what they just recently passed there? There is, thou shalt be on earth as it is in heaven. Some country is an affront to God against that now. But just as it says also in Hebrews, receive an unshakable kingdom. And that's a really good verse there too. You know, it's, wherefore receive an unshakable kingdom. Let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with godly fear and awe. Well, we are being pleasing our Father right now. He's well pleased in this from the other previous verse that I just read. So I guess every Tuesday and Thursday we're well pleasing to God. And whenever you come into a fellowship like this, especially since you can do it live and even praise Him and worship Him. And, that's pretty much it. And, you know, no one in this room would be here unless God had him there. sometimes you think about this sovereignty of God and how it collates with the will. You know, and of course you do want to follow His commandments, because that's what it says in 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, and even our faith. And it's our faith because it's our new lifestyle. It's from Jesus. We have His faith, and He told us to have the Father's faith. So that's a lot. But if a father's gonna be patient with us, then He's going to be really patient with us, because we're just really young people, all of us, and even the people with the gray hair. And He knows how to handle things with us, because he wants us to succeed with Him. And that's kind of like the verse that says, after he makes his sovereignty for us to succeed with him, you really get to understand that verse where it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him." You know, we get really fascinated over those things when we get an answer to something or an answer to prayer, you know. And sometimes you wonder, well, why can't this always happen? And, you know, that's kind of the question I have, you know, is this has to happen now because of the time we're in. It's prophesied, and well, you know, I've been doing some thinking about what happened over there in Yemen too. We just lost two brothers there, and it's because of the literature they read, and you know, I thought about their loved ones. You know, what do they think about it? And you know, poured out some prayer about that. You know, like why did these, you know, like if it was your brother, what would you have thought? You know, if it was your brother and you were just a worldly person, you know, they would want to get to the bottom of this or whatever. Or if he was just a religious person, you know. So my hope is that translation, which is in a language that many countries in that area speak, would spread, and for the Lord's glory. You know, when I say hope, my hope is in the Lord, if that's what He wants to do, His will in this. And there's a portion there of God's will in action. So and I'm sure you can have verses pop into your head about why the Lord took those two people there. And well, that's all I have to say now.
Amen. Well, you know, they what they did, the Catholics took all their books and burned them. But what happened then is the schoolmaster got involved, and another guy, and they're going to get those books translated again pretty quick, and then they're going to print them out, send them out even more so than they did before. It's going to be an awesome thing. And they also, I don't know if I told you this the other day, but there's a lot going on over there. They're good brothers. So we just need to keep on praying for them. Keep on praying for them. But you know, this will thing, it says the sovereignty of God. If we just remember that God's done all these things around us for a reason, and y'all know what the reason is, and that's to make us look like Jesus. We're the walking, talking Jesuses. God's will for us is to make us look like Jesus. That's every one of us. And there's a lot more to that, but I'm, you know, that's just, like I said, a short version of it. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, and I remember reading in the New Testament somewhere, if there's something wrong with you, He's going to reveal it to you anyway. Because that's what a father does with any child, right? Yeah. Your earthly father would tell you what he didn't like about you. Or what he wants you to fix up. So, you know, for some of us who don't have like our regular fathers anymore, because I'm pretty sure because of the age of some of us here, we don't have our dad anymore, but you do, you know, and he's the best dad you can ever have. And he's filled with loving kindness and love, and you know, there's the guy that only had one talent. He had a bad idea of what God was about there. And the other guys, they didn't, you know. But God even put a little phrase in there that he should have told him to lend his money out to the lenders rather than just bury it. You know? So you can sense that God wants us to do something, yes, but it's all his doing anyway. So that kind of is a comfort too. That's all.
Amen. Anyone else? Lenny, go ahead. Can't hear you. I can't hear you. You got your you got a mute on your microphone, I guess. Your microphone on the Zoom is okay. It's just on your deal there, maybe. While he's trying to do that, I'll just make a little short announcement. I thought Thursday night we'd have, since it's the last Thursday night in the month, we'd have praise and worship if y'all want to.
Yes, praise and worship.
All right. Figured out, did he? Go ahead, Willie.
What was that book called by Andrew Murray?
Oh, just a moment. The Will of God. Oh, I'm sorry. Thy Will Be Done. You can... Look, y'all, you can get a 50 title Life and Works of Andrew Murray for $3.99 if you got a Kindle or an iPad or something like that to read it on, or even your PC. You can get that on Amazon. Go, Joe.
I think I'm going out on a limb here, Dave. I like what you said, Leon. I was going to say that, so you beat me to it. Do you remember several months ago, Dave, you had that, you got a verse like that. You were asking the Lord about something, and he gave you a verse with several names on it, you know, in it, and I think you found out what each name meant. Do you remember that, Dave? That's exactly what it's like, Pat. You know, Leon was talking about that. I don't know, Dave, if you remember that verse or what the names were, but it's a good example of that.
I'd have to look it up. I've got a few of them.
Because that came to mind. As you were saying that, Pat, you know what I mean? Yeah, Leon, you said it first. I thought about, hey, Dave had that same kind of verse where he had, you know, several names, and then each name meant something specific, and it kind of told a sentence, you know, like, or it told a, you know, short, a statement or whatever. So try that out. You know, do that and see. Maybe that's what the Lord's trying to tell you. Hey, you know, each name means something, and he's trying to tell you something specific. So, just a thought.
Yeah, I always go down that avenue.
Yeah, Pat, Easton's Bible Dictionary will have names. Smith's Bible Dictionary will have it also. And I think there's one or two more that has those names in them. One don't have it, the other one will.
I even use Strong's.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead, Missy.
And I just remembered something of you know, the name thing. I had a dream the other week, and one of the verses that I had gotten was it was in Isaiah 7, and I landed on the word established. And that sentence that had that word in said something to the effect that if you will not believe, surely you will not be established. And then I asked the Lord for another word, and he gave me in the genealogy there in Matthew, I think the name was Achim, A-C-H-I-M. And when I looked to see what the meaning was, if you have Brown Driver Briggs in your E-sword, that also, if you have that, and you have the Strong's number for, so the Strong's, and if you look at the King James, if you have the King James and the Strong's together. Anyway, but what the meaning of that name was, it says, the meaning was, the Lord will establish. And I was like, wow. I mean, he gave me this, the word establish, and then, and the phrase there, if you will not believe, surely you will not be established. And then he gives me a name that means the Lord will establish. And it was like the Lord saying to me, believe, I'm going to establish you, And, what came to me was there, and I forget where it is, first or second Peter, where it says about the Lord establish and strengthen you and blah, blah, blah. It was some really good verses. But anyway, that was just that's just to give you, some encouragement too, in that the names are very, very important, the meanings of them. And that was a really an awesome encouragement to me. I was just like, wow, that is so cool that he gave me that. So, yeah.
Missy, what was that Bible that you said that you were in?
If you have, you can probably on your e-sword, you can probably have the King James with the Strong's numbers with it. Okay?
Yep.
And I know, like, I have my sword on Android. If you have my sword, in some ways I like my sword better than like e-sword, but one of the modules you can get is Brown Driver Briggs. That gives you the meaning of the Strong's. It gives you their take on the meaning of the words and the names or whatever. I like Brown Driver Briggs better than like Strong's, but Brown Driver Briggs gives a lot more name meanings than what Strong's were. And like Michael said, Easton's is really good too. But I find more often than not that Brown Driver Briggs is much better as far as names than Easton's, I think. Just my personal opinion. But if I'm not happy with what I find in Brown Driver Briggs, I do look at Easton's. I put it in Easton's. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I have that one.
All right. Who's next?
Am I in?
Hey, Benny.
Can you hear me?
I can. Yes, sir. We can hear you.
All right. This is for Missy. I thought with her mom in that situation that you could let her know that you've been asking the Lord and you're sensing him saying no. You don't understand why, but that you would be willing to, you know, to pay to have her dog kenneled during that time, if that would be an option or not. I don't know, but just let her know you really want to help out. But you know, and it would also kind of speak to her that you are putting God first and you're seeking God, and but that might be something to consider.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that suggestion. I really don't think she would be open at all to the whole kennel thing. They've never kenneled their dog. I don't think she'd do that.
There's some places that while they're there, they'll groom them and give them a bath and trim them, and they'll do all that kind of stuff, you know, and it's actually like a treat, you know. So, you know, so I let her know you'd be willing to do that, you know, forego the expense of it, but.
Yeah, that's a thought. Thanks. I'll pray about that. Thanks, Denny. Bless you.
Yep. Julie is on the chat there. She's referencing that verse that Missy was talking about, 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make ye perfect, establish strength, settle ye. Okay. Okay, we got a little time left. Go ahead, Willie.
Sorry, I'm still thinking on this will thing. That was a good scripture, though. It relates. Is the Lord bringing man's will back to its original state, or is he seeking to work something different concerning the will of man?
When you're talking about to its original state, its original state, huh?
Before the fall.
Oh. Well,
or is it?
What, Willie?
No, that's my question.
Go ahead, Wade. Wade's got the answer.
No, I don't. I have a question. Mentioned after you had suffered a while, that verse. It seems in my life I've been going through periods of suffering and then periods of growth or then periods of suffering again. What I'm wondering is that the pattern that God uses, or is that just for me? And if it is for me, how can I improve my situation?
That's something that everybody goes through, right? We all go through ups and downs. And it's for the perfecting of us, you know. That's what he's doing it for. We have the periods of down is to get rid of the flesh and the world away from us. And then the upside is the reward. You know, you understand you're making it. You're doing good. You're still going forward. You know, and that's just part of this Christian walk. You know, I don't think anybody in here did like Jesus. He overcame every time an obstacle came up. So we just have to learn. You know, that book, Salvation, Instant and Progressive, is a good book to read because it kind of goes through the same thing. It's your walk in Christ. You're always going forward, but there's the Lord puts obstacles in our way to get rid of something in us, you know, so that we can overcome and go on. Somebody else want to expound on that a little? I know in my walk, every time an obstacle comes up, it's something to be overcome rather than worry about it. And that's what I do. I look at myself. There's two reasons why God has bad things that happen to us. One of them is that we're in sin and he wants to get our attention. And the other is a test of our faith. So as you check yourself and say, well, am I in sin? And if you're not, then it's a test of your faith. And you can just kick back and say, okay, in the name of Jesus, I command this thing to go. And then kick back and rest in the knowledge that God's working it out. Go ahead, Missy.
Wade's particular verse came to my mind. It's 2 Corinthians 4, 17, but I'm going to read 16 to 18. Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So it's for our light affliction is for the moment.
What is that verse?
2 Corinthians 4, 17. And there's something else that came to my mind. Also, 1 Peter 1, gosh, you have to start at 3. It's kind of hard to start any other place. But it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again unto a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been put to grief in manifold trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it is proved by fire, may be found unto praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's Christ in you, like what the that's the manifestation of Jesus in you, like Monroe was talking about earlier. And whom not having seen, ye love, on whom though ye... Okay, let me start over on that one. Whom not having seen, ye love, on whom though now we see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So, the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul, believing that everything that you're going through is just a light, for the moment, a light affliction, momentary affliction, and the trial, manifold trials, they're all working Jesus in you. So it's a good thing. Amen.
Go ahead, Dave.
I'll take a little farther up the road on that one. I'm going to go to Romans 8 because I was reading that today. Starting at verse 18, it's called Future Glory. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory with which will be revealed towards us. For the creation waits with eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to vanity, but not on its own will, but because of him who subjected it in hope. There's something to think about. Somebody subjected this vanity, this whole thing, this is a plan. It's all done for hope, okay? That the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of decay into liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Not only so, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in hope, but hope is that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for which he sees? But if we hope for which we do not see, we wait for it with patience. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Who searches the hearts knows what is the Spirit's mind, because he makes intercession for the saints according to God. He searches hearts, all right? We know that all things work together for the good of those who are love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknow, he predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brothers. Whom he predestined, those he called; whom he called, those he justified; whom he justified, those he also glorified. I'll just stop it right there. But it goes along with, you know, oops, I shut my mouth off. It goes along with our hope is based on looking forward for the promises and waiting for them patiently and enduring to the end, and not being frustrated. You know, last week I was going through a time and I was trying to get a little confusion there going on in my head. You know, felt like things were coming on me. And Lord told me, serpent. He gave me one of those word things Joe talked about with the names, and it came up with serpents. Oh, I caught on. And the serpent spirits, the demons are attacking me. They're trying to get in my head. You know, we have that. You have to keep that in mind too, you know, because whenever you're falling under attack, you're thinking, well, what am I doing wrong, or why am I going through this? Well, you're being attacked by Satan too. You can be attacked by Satan and not even realize you're getting these confusing, these feelings, these thoughts are coming at you, and you're just kind of getting bewildered a little bit. But you got to realize too that the same reason why you're going through some of these things is for God to put you through this training so that you can now learn how to filter better and throw out which is not from God and get you prepared and get you back into the Word. And he coaxes you through this because he wants you to rely upon him and know where he is and where the enemy's at, know the camps, so that you can distinguish the two camps really easily, or you can start having a little bit of discernment along the way so that you're not going to be sidelined in very long. You're not going to be taken out, because the longer we go through this time, I mean, for a short period of time in the tribulation, there will be somewhat of a time where we're going to get trained, prepared, and go through and be ready for what we're going to see coming at us. But when that, after that 3 years is up, 3.5 years, it's going to be a pretty wild time. You know, it's going to be like the wild, wild west of the spiritual world. We're going to see all sorts of crazy things going on. So these times he's trying to prepare us for those things too. So if you're feeling like, wow, I'm not prepared, I'm not ready for this, I'm not doing enough, you know, at the same time realize, you know, God's the one that's doing the work. We see these promises that we're waiting, patiently waiting, because we got this hope in us. We're looking for that hope to come in, and we're waiting for that time to appear when Christ comes and we'll be see him as he is, because we'll be like him. But until that point, we're going to have these this spiritual realm come against us. And the Lord's preparing that for us. He's getting us ready for that. We're not always going to feel like we're on top of the game, because this is that spiritual realm coming against us. And he's preparing us to get us prepared for even what's even going to be worse up the road, so we can handle it. We're the ones that are going to be handling this. We're going to recognize it and know how to fight it. So realize that too. This is the battleground. We're getting prepared for that. That's just something I wanted to bring out.
Oh, go ahead, Julie. I'll get right to you, Pat. Hang on.
Hello.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Go right ahead.
Well, one of the other scriptures that was coming to my mind was talking about suffering was in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer by human passions, but by the will of God. And I think that with the previous verse, and it's later in 1 Peter 5, but is about the suffering in the flesh, where he said after a while, after you've suffered a while in the flesh, when you don't give in to the sin, when you let your flesh suffer in place of giving in to the sin, that's where God's gonna, you know, perfect that and establish you and build you up and is part of the sanctification of, you know, losing our old life here so that we can be more Christ-like. And when you suffer in the flesh, you cease from sin. When you cease from sin, it's not a temptation for you anymore. I just want to share that.
Amen. Go ahead, Pat. Thank you, Julie.
I was just going to make a comment that it seems like things are happening right now. I'm sure everybody else has seen it as well, but some of these things, like the events of the abortion movement there in New York and some of these other states that are happening, the devil is, I'm going to take that back. The Lord is allowing the devil to set up battle lines, and he's separating things. It's like there's going to be a point where the righteous will stand out like a light in stark difference to the darkness that is out there. And walking and standing in obedience, not only just willing to suffer the wrath. I was looking, interesting parallel that I saw the other day. People that are wearing these MAGA hats suffering. It is bringing out the vengeful, vicious spirit, antagonistic, vicious spirit of the of bitterness that is unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and everything that's coming out. And these people are going crazy and like they're smacking hats off of heads and everything like that. And I was listening to David's message of a couple days ago or whatever, talking about, I think it was talking about image of the beast and the image of God, you know, written on your forehead and whatever. And it just kind of, I saw kind of a parallel there where these people have this MAGA hat on with an image across their head. These guys are coming out whacking them and everything. And I guess what I'm starting to see is that we have, there's no going back. If Trump makes it into re-election, we have that time. But if the Democrats ever get back into power again, it's game over. The fire is going to start because what is happening in there in the government, at least right now with those people, is they are completely unhinged. I guess I'm, in one sense, I know I spoke about it a few weeks ago, when Trump he signed that emergency order declaration or whatever. And when he did that, it just dawned on me, you know what, when the Democrats get in and get power, they're going to use that, but they're going to be uncontrolled. They're simply going to just pull all the stops out and get everything pushed through that they've wanted to get pushed through, that they can't actually pass laws and so it just hit me that this is game over. God is preparing us. We are at the last stage, and I think that's, I appreciate Tim pointing that, those verses out, that the Lord led me over to that Ezra. And so I'm going to have to study on that and download that book and read that. But I think it just hit me that the impact that this is it. There's no turning back. We're not going back and live the way we used to live type of thing. It's over. We're on a particular path here and I can see the destination in view. So that's all I wanted to say. Praise the Lord.
This thing in New York City has turned, believe it or not, regular Democrats away from the Democrat Party, because they understand infanticide, and that's exactly what it is. It's craziness. I never in my whole life would have thought we would have come to this degraded. What is that word I'm looking for? This degrading time in our life where we saw this. It's just craziness, but that's God showing us what's going on. These are the last days, that's right.
And yet, in the day when Manasseh was king, they were sacrificing babies to Moloch. I mean, live babies.
Yeah.
On that, those steaming hot arms.
Yeah, I mean, I sure were.
You just, oh. Well, of course, they probably, I don't want to imagine what's going on in the world. I don't even want to comment on it, go any farther than that.
Well, we're running out of time here. I'm going to say this, and then we'll close out. I'm sorry, Joe, we'll get you in just a second. You know what they found in the Vatican, that they've got the Pope, he's been neutralized. They found that they've been sacrificing babies there in a satanic cult in that thing. So it's just God's doing it. He's exposing the darkness for what it is for a little while, and then it's all going to close in again. Well, okay, it's been interesting tonight. And does anybody, go ahead, Joe, go ahead and share what little bit you got.
No, I was just going to say, I heard someone say recently about the Democratic Party, and it's the same thing, I think, with the Vatican and Catholic Church and everything. This is just that separating. You know, it's with the Democratic Party, I mean, those radicals, those communists, basically, you know, they said it's going to split the party in half. And I'm like, hey, you've got the moderates who are a little with a little more sense, if they have any, you know, will form their own party. So I think this is just part of that separation, you know, this wheat and the tares, I guess. Well, I mean, those who have yet to be in the kingdom. I mean, that's what it sounds like with the Vatican, separating God's people from the, you know, from the tares and all that stuff. So this is just a further separation is what it looks like. So.
All right.
Yeah. So.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask for your protection upon Trump. I thank you, Lord, that you got a man up there with a backbone to know what's good and what's not good. And, Lord, to stand up for rights of unborn babies. And, Lord, I know he's doing something behind the scenes right now. Lord, I read something today about something fixing to transpire about that. He's trying to figure out a way to get around that New York bunch up there. And the Senate Democrats that voted down a bill that would make it illegal to kill a baby that was born. But Lord, I know that you're doing these things for a reason. You're showing people how satanic that some of these Democrats are, and some of the Republicans, I suppose. But, Father, we just know that we're going to put it all in your hands. We know that you're doing whatever has to be done, but we ask for your protection upon your chosen throughout the world, Lord. And I ask and I pray that it looks like this thing is coming to an head. I don't know when tribulation is going to start, maybe a year, maybe two. I don't know. But, Father, I just thank you for giving us the wherewithal to do what it is that you want us to do. And Lord, put it in each one of us to ask you where we are in this thing, in this, our walk is with you, Lord, so that we can come to this knowledge of seeking you and laying our lives on the altar, Lord, for you, Lord, so that we're not living anymore, that you're living in us, Lord, that we have laid everything on the altar. We give each these things that have hindered our walk, we lay it right on the altar, and we walk away from it, and we don't go back and pick it up. And Father, I thank you for that, and I thank you, Lord, that you're going to work in all of us everything that needs to be worked for your purpose, Lord. And I thank you for it, Lord. Bless everybody with a good night's sleep tonight. And bless us with knowledge in your word, revelations out of your word, Lord, that when we come back together, Lord, we'll be able to share them. And I praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, folks.